All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Shelby. Just a reintroduction. Hi, everyone. I can't believe it. I have been in this program almost 8 years, and I'm coming up on 8 years in January. My abstinence is no binging and no restricting. I am still not at my goal weight, but I'm working on it. These days, you guys have been hearing me complain a little bit about, the perimenopause and the menopause. That's what I'm going through right now. It's terrible. It's horrible. But we'll get into that. But yeah, my OA birthday is right around the corner in January. I was one of those people that joined OA, as part of a New Year's resolution. Yeah, no, this is my story. I mean, how it was, for the most part, this is interesting. When I look back, at my childhood, I had a very ch happy childhood for the most part. And I was very much loved in a secure family, but there was some parts of my childhood and teenage years that were very insecure. I first recall food being a comfort to me in my teens, not so much in my early childhood. My mom was the fun mom, and my mom used to just, she just provided everything for us. I remember we were the house that had the hostess. Sorry for saying certain food words, but we were the fun house where, our refrigerator was, she put it in the freezer. She would put all the, remember when there used to be a hostess place down the street from Skivvy. And my mom used to go there and load up, and she'd put it all in the freezer. And I remember the kids would like, all come to our house and, eat off of this, stash of food. To be quite honest, I think me and my brothers got so sick of it. It really wasn't something that we really indulged in too much, so I mean, as a child, I don't remember, binging too much. That for me came a little bit later in life, when I was more of a teen, did I start running to food. And my household, athleticism, was very much an important thing. Everybody was in sports and everybody was in really good shape. I remember the family kind of always being on a diet. I was the salad maker. I remember that very specifically. I was really great at making salads, and everybody always wanted me to make a salad for them. And I remember that it was just always known that, we had to, keep up with our sports, and that was a focus, and being in shape was part of that. My dad really hated overweight people. He hated fat people. He thought that they were, well, that those were his words, lazy, I often heard, and just a real like hatred. You could see it, in his eyes and the way that he talked to people. And then that was, in our household, just not acceptable. If my dad was the first one, you guys have heard the story, that told me that I was gaining weight and that I needed to go on a diet. My dad did not hold back on his opinion of how you looked. So it was also very much ingrained to me at a young age that, women in particular had to look a particular way, in order to attract others, or even just to like, impress upon, I think even for my dad, he wanted like a perfect looking family. My dad had a weightlifting gym in the garage. And he got this weightlifting gym, funny enough, from because he was a prison warden. And so my dad, the weightlifting, set was actually built by prisoners. And we were allowed to, he would let us go into the gym and work out in his little gym. But I mean, that was his thing. He was a big guy. He was very, fit and muscular. And he was Mr. Coach. He would coach the football team. He would coach the baseball team, excelling and getting championships were very much part of, all of our, lives. He never coached my team. That's an interesting one. He was always afraid. I think it, I look back at it now and I think of it as more of a fear, that he was afraid to coach the women, either because he thought we would cry or I don't know, but I played sports just as much as the boys did, and my dad just didn't, he didn't even really go to my games. He just was, very checked out. I think he didn't know how to be a dad to a girl. I think men he understood very well, boys he understood very well. I don't think he knew what to do with me. So, the other thing I haven't really talked about in these rooms too much, and I don't know how far I want to go into it, but my dad was a very violent man, and he wasn't so much violent with, the family. He was violent with everybody else. And so I just remember seeing my dad constantly getting into fights. He was that guy that, if he brought to a party, was probably gonna get into a fight. And I mean, no, I mean, he wasn't an alcoholic. He was completely sober. He was just a violent man, and I don't know how many fights that I saw him get into, and I know he got into a lot more. He just liked beating people up. I can only think of maybe, one or two incidents, with me personally. He wasn't somebody that, I think he knew that he didn't want to beat up his family, but he needed somebody to beat up. But watching that was, traumatic, I think. And I don't think I've ever really said that, how much it affected me. It was hard to watch. And I think also there's a deep fear. I know I've talked to my brother about this, that there's a deep fear that I have that anger, that and it's something we're both very afraid of, that this anger is just gonna boil over like it did with Dad. And I think that's a one of the reasons why stuffing the feelings, with food was a safer thing to do. My dad was he all funny part is, even though he himself, I think he hated, overweight people, but he himself struggled with his weight, and I think that's another reason why there was a self-hatred there, probably. And when my parents divorced, that's when my disease came in, and that's when I started using food, as a coping mechanism, because that was a way of dealing with the emotions of what was going on. And that was the good girl thing to do, right? Because I couldn't get into drugs, and I couldn't be an alcoholic because I wanted to get into college and, be successful and get the hell out of, the family. So I saw that as a way out. So, food was really the safest thing to do, right? So that's when my food issues really skyrocketed. And I don't know if you guys ever, know that feeling of like having a hunger, for somebody and for, love and acceptance, but it's not hunger. It's not physical hunger that you need. Now, I remember I've had this like realization before I go to food sometimes where I'm like, God, I'm hungry for something, but I'm not physically hungry. And it's something else that I needed emotionally, and I wasn't getting it. And I didn't, so that's where it all started was, in my teens, and then it just got worse in my marriage, where I've talked about this before, where I basically married, my unresolved issues in dad form, with another person, where it just got completely worse there. I married somebody who was exactly the same, because I needed that. I needed, somebody in that form to love me the way that I needed. And yeah, it just escalated and got worse, the perfectionism, the, having to look a certain way for somebody else, that was a constant thing in my marriage, marrying somebody who, again, hated anybody that was, overweight in any way, shape, or form. I remember just constantly, always on a diet, always, trying the next diet, going to all the different diet programs, the exercise craziness. I was a boot camp instructor for many, many years. I was CrossFit level certified. I mean, I went into some extreme, many different, extreme forms of exercise. And to this day, I actually do love exercise. It makes me sad that, I took it to such an extreme of, with the calorie counting every day and the, this is before the apps too. So you had to do it by hand. That was even harder. These days, you could get into your obsession really much easier. They make it a lot easier to obsess over, calories in and calories out, but that's what I needed, I needed to track all that stuff, and I was, skinny and in, I had a family, and a husband and a perfect looking life on the outside, but I was completely miserable. And I was miserable in my marriage, and my husband was miserable. And I, things were, quickly falling apart. And I think it was in 2016 when, I started coming to OA, my rock bottom was, basically the falling apart of my marriage, and I started listening to OA, podcasts. They had them even back then, there were phone readings and podcasts, and that's where I started. I didn't go in, I can't remember how long it took before I actually entered the rooms, but I don't consider, like my start in OA until I actually, entered the rooms of Skivvy. That's when things really, really started for me, and I really started to work the program. But I needed those years of listening, of listening, and before I said, this is me, this is my program, this is where I know I need to be. And hold on here. Going to run out of time, but I have 5 minutes left after this. Save. Okay. But all right, where was I? Yes, I just made it to OA. But I do remember this feeling, oh God, of walking into Skivvy and just knowing that I was home. And I've said this before, it really had nothing to do with, oh my God, this is the diet program that's gonna work. This is, that wasn't the feeling that I had. What I felt was, these are my people, and this is what I've been looking for. And that, if yeah, it just felt like home, you know. And 5 more minutes. Yeah, just the light in people's eyes, that's what I remember too. You know, people were talking about things that I had never heard other people talk about. You know, I because I got when I came into the rooms, I obsessively talked about food and dieting and exercising. I mean, that's all I wanted to talk about, and that's all I wanted to talk about with you. You know, I remember when after I started, you know, when I started gaining my abstinence, you know, and I stopped talking about the food and or consciously talking, stopped talking about the food and the dieting. I remember there were people that would still come to me after work and they would be, or at work, you know, because, you know, I was the person who was always, you know, organizing like walks and, you know, always trying to, you know, do something at work and get other people involved in my obsession, right? I remember I said when I stopped talking about it, like it was like people, and I wouldn't, you know, engage in the conversation. People are like, "Gosh, what's wrong with her?" You know, like she given up, right? You know, that's what people would think, right? Is like she's just given up on her diet. She's gonna let herself go, you know, which wasn't it. You know, I just the obsession needed to stop. You know, that talking about the world revolving around, you know, that next diet. That's what I, you know, needed to stop. But since I've been in program, you know, that suffering of the perfectionism, you know, to have like the perfect body, you know, I still suffer from, you know, needing that or wanting that, not needing it, wanting it. I think that, but I am in a much better place today than I was before. You know, today I can get into a bathing suit, you know, with on a girl's trip and be fine. You know, yeah, 10 years ago, I couldn't even get into a bathing suit, you know, and I would be crawling out of my skin, and or I'd get in my bathing suit and I would just cover up, right? You know, nowadays, you know, I have a freedom now that I didn't have before, you know, and I no longer, you know, go into those bouts of, you know, I call them like the swings, you know, those massive swings of restricting, you know, or binging, you know. So that's where I have to find myself, is in that zone of that's my zone of abstinence, is not these pulling of extremes. And I kind of hit upon this earlier, you know, I just turned 50, you know, and I'm feeling pretty good about where I am right now. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. Not everything's perfect, right? You know, but I can definitely look back on, you know, where I feel good about where I'm going. Did I make a lot of mistakes? Yes. Where was, you know, on the was I in the wrong place for a while? Yes. But I made the adjustments, and right now I just feel really good about where I'm at. I feel good that, you know, I could look back at my life and I could feel like I contributed, you know, that I gave back to others, that I fought for what I believed in, you know, and I believe that I can continue to contribute. And that's also what I love about Skivvy and working the steps and the tools. And, you know, I'm very much part of service, you know, here at Skivvy, and it's given me a wonderful, you know, outlet. I can't believe some of the things that I have been able to do, you know, and Skivvy's given me the opportunity to do that, and I'm very thankful for that. But yeah, so I'm just in a much better, happier place. I'm just gonna wrap it up with there, and thank you for letting me share.